This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. The Italian Embassy in KL, together with several other institutions like the Rossini Opera Festival of Pesaro, the local institutions UCSR University and Kuala Lumpur City Opera, organized a celebration of Rossini. This Italian composer is best known, at least locally, for the opera The Barber of Seville, also known as The Useless Precaution. Rossini died on November 13th, 1869, and 2018 marks 150 years since his death. Two musicians came to the country under the sponsorship of the Italian Embassy. They collaborated with seven local singers. On the morning of the performance, I was to speak to three of them: Jane Sung, a soprano; Yap Jin Hin, tenor; and Chi Ho Mak, bass baritone. But because of a late night rehearsal, I'm left with Chi Ho. Gio, excited about looking forward to this evening when all of you will be performing?
Yes, yes. It's one of those projects that we do. It's like a small project. But nevertheless, you know, when we were contacted by the Italian Embassy, proposed to do this program together, we were all quite excited. Nevertheless, we were a little bit nervous as well, because, I mean, Rossini is never easy to sing, I mean, in terms of his music. And currently we're in the middle of a few projects, at least our upcoming project, which is Man and Butterfly. But yeah, excited nonetheless.
Who initiated this project?
Actually, I think it was between KL, collaboration between KLCO and the Italian Embassy. And as you know, this year marks the 150th death anniversary of the Italian composer Giacono.
Strange that to be celebrating somebody's death as opposed to celebrating his birth.
Yes, but actually all around the world, I mean, there are many, in many parts of the world, they are doing Rossini concerts. So this was another reason why we decided to join the bandwagon, as it were. And it's a collaboration also with the Rossini Academy, the Accademia Rossiana in Pesaro, Italy. They very kindly agreed to collaborate with us. It's our first project together with them. And the Italian Embassy is a main sponsor, paid for everything.
Who are the people coming from Italy?
So we have two special guests. We have the repetitor, Elisa Cherry.
You use a very strange terminology that most of us don't know.
Repetitor. A repetitor is a company. So she's a pianist and a coach, a vocal coach from the Rossini Academy, the Accademia Rossiana, Elisa Cherry, and also a young artist, a fabulous singer, Aya Wakizono, a Japanese mezzo-soprano who was herself a graduate from the Academy, but now she makes a career there in Italy.
Does that mean that the pianist from Italy will be accompanying all of you?
Yes.
And not just the singer from Italy?
No, yeah. So she acts as a vocal coach as well, and put rehearsing with us and giving us a lot of great insights into technique and the art of singing music by Rossini. And she's been working at the Academy since 2004. So she knows the music, and she's based there, of course. So she teaches there and she coaches singers there. So fantastic for us to be able to get a first-hand experience working with a vocal coach from the Academy, and to also learn about the insights and how to actually bring his music into light.
This is a masterclass for people who are already masters, at least within Malaysia.
No, Wenda. I don't think we can even call ourselves masters. I think we're just beginning. The music of Rossini, for us, it's so distinct, you know. I mean, and technically, it's challenging because it's so difficult, you know, in terms of the athletics, you know. And also because all of us, we're not native Italian speakers. We know we have... Mainly, it's like language coaching to get the diction right and to get the flavor and the style right. There's only a few of us, another singer, Yo Kirker and Cecilia, who studied in Italy, so they have command of the language. But for a lot of us, I mean, among the seven principals, five of us, we are not native speakers at all. So it's been a great learning experience to be able to work with Elisa, we wish that we could have more time because it's so rushed, but we do our best.
When did she get here?
She flew in on, I think she flew in on Wednesday night, I think. Yeah, so because we had our first coaching session on Thursday already. So they've been very busy. I mean, for the past 2 days, we've just been stuck in the studio rehearsing, you know, the scenes. But yeah, it's been great.
What is the process? I assume you were given the pieces that you'll be singing, and then you just learn it on your own until she got here, and then...
Yes, exactly. So we were each assigned arias and also ensembles and also the whole company numbers from three different operas. So from La Cenerentola, which is Cinderella, Il Barbiere di Siviglia, or The Barber of Seville, Il Turco in Italia, the Turk in Italy, and Italiana di Algeria, so the Italian girl in Algiers.
That's four.
That's four, sorry. My brain. Long rehearsal nights. So, and each of us were assigned our own aria. So usually we all sing an aria or two each, and then a duet, and then a company ensemble.
Jiho, you have thrown in many different terminologies here.
Aria.
Aria. What's aria and what's I guess the opposite of an aria is a recitative.
Well, the aria itself is the song or the main song by a character or a role in an opera. A recitative accompanies it. So usually before the aria happens, the recitative, or it's like a sung speech by the person. It's like a dialogue, a spoken dialogue, but usually sung, which is in the Italian operatic tradition.
Does that mean then outside of Italy, the recitative is not used?
It is used as well, but especially in Italy, the recitative precedes the aria. There is an art to singing the recitatives as well. So we have had to learn that. But thankfully, we didn't have to do any recitatives. So we just go straight to the aria.
Notwithstanding that you're not performing a recitative, could you give us a demonstration of what a recitative is? Although you have given it a definition...
There are many different types of recitative. So the Mozartian recitative is different. And so it's a little bit different. And then you have the dry recitative, which is the secco recitative, and also the accompanied recitative, accompagnato. The two very different ones as well. But we're not doing any recitative, so we're just doing arias. So we've had to learn.
You said a speech. It's a more tonal in a sense that it sounds more like somebody talking.
Yeah, it sounds like a melody. Yeah, it's a melody. It's a written melody. It's a written up melody.
Sounds like you are refusing to give us a demonstration.
It's early in the morning. It's 9 a.m. So, I mean, back to the process. So we've all been working on ourselves, by ourselves, for the past couple of months. And then when Elisa comes and then we go in for coaching sessions, you know, we have assigned time. So it's basically like a coaching session, like a masterclass. And then, I mean, it takes a whole day. So we've been rehearsing, we've been going at it from 2 to 10:30, 11 p.m. with breaks for tea and dinner and coffee. So long, long hours, but hopefully it'll be worth it.
Where does Rossini stand in the context of, you know, the canon of all these famous opera writers?
Rossini remains one of the most prolific. I mean, he was so prolific. I mean, he wrote 39 main operas, but no, in other works. His style, it follows the tradition of, you know, like Donizetti, Bellini, where we call the bel canto, you know, beautiful singing, the first part of the 19th century. And he took that style and he developed that. So, you know, you have got, Bellini, and then you have Donizetti, who also wrote, you know, a lot of comic operas, light operas. And then he took that, Rossini, and then he crystallized that and he turned that into a style completely into his own. His operas are well known for their craft. Also in the wonderful storytelling, in the way that he sets his music. And several, for example, you talk about the famous Rossini crescendo, which I think it's a, yeah, I mean, it is something. It is, a lot of other composers have been, you know, leaning towards it, but he took that. You know, it's basically a setting, you know, in the end of a big piece where he extends a crescendo from an entire ensemble, both the singers and the orchestra, and then suddenly very suddenly goes quiet again, and then it starts to build up again. So it's in the way of how he creates tension and drama in the music, so which is very unmistakably Rossini. So it's got the Rossinian sort of crescendo. Very often in the music, suddenly you hear a sudden dip in the entire volume, you know, where everybody's busy, you know, everybody's singing. You have probably like a sextet of singers with accompanied with the orchestra and a chorus, and then singing all together, going very loud, and then suddenly, without any warning, goes back down again to really, really piano, and then crescendo and crescendo, and while at the same time singing. And it happens a few times. So it gives you, it's sort of like manipulating, you know, it's kind of manipulative music, you know, where you bring the audience to a climax and then drop back down again, and then...
But music is always manipulating.
Yes, yes, the best ones are...
You threw in another term.
Yes.
You say the music goes really loud and then it goes to piano.
Yeah, piano, soft, really soft. Sorry. And yeah, and his operas are also very... His style of vocal writing for the singers is also a little bit unrelentless in the sense that, you know, it's very florid and very melismatic. For a lot of singers, you know, to be able to sing Rossini requires you to be... You know, quite technically sound, because there's, you know, lots of many different notes, many notes in one bar, and you have to sing it in one breath, very long breaths. And then you also have the patter song, the kind of like the lots of many different words, like almost like murmuring, you know, like lots of words squeezed into a bar.
And you have to sing very fast.
And you have to very, very fast in a fast tempo. So, and if you're not a native speaker of Italian, it is quite a challenge, you know, and it's not the same case where you can just cheat your way through. I mean, we have been learning, you know, for the past 2 days with Maestra Zeri to actually how to manage that. But it's been a great learning process for all of us.
Good. I think it's time to talk about the works that will be performed for the show. Yeah. I've been talking with Chiho Mark, bass baritone, and the subject of our conversation is the Italian composer, Rossini, who has been celebrated. This year marks the 150th anniversary of his death. Coming up, some insights into four operas, one of which, of course, is The Barber of Seville. This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last Saturday, I interviewed Chiho Mark, a bass baritone, who was one of the seven local featured singers performing in a celebration of Rossini. The event was organized by several institutions, including the Italian Embassy in KL, Rossini Opera Festival of Pesaro, UCSR University, and the Kuala Lumpur City Opera. Now, Chiho, coming to the operas that you'll be performing, though only the excerpts?
Many of his operas are stories written in collaboration with different libretto writers. I think one of my most favourite stories, actually, a very, very funny story, is actually La Cenerentola, or Cinderella, which is actually the story by Charles Perrault. Yeah, very famous story. And I think this is one of the reasons why I think the works that we've chosen for the concert, they're all well-known stories.
Who chose this repertoire?
I think it's a collaboration between Accademia and our vocal coach, Cecilia Yap. So she basically looked at, well, the seven of the principal singers that were available for this project. And then based on our vocal types, and also she wanted to give everybody a chance, you know, to be able to sing something as well. So they decided on the four of them, the four operas.
I assume these are also Rossini's most popular.
Yes,
out of the 39
are.
Or 40.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, this is so many, and some I think are not as well known. I mean, there are many others who are just fallen by the wayside. But all around the world, the most commonly performed operas are these four. Also, another one, William Tell, of course. And he wrote some very serious operas as well, like Othello. He has set Othello, the story of Othello, the Shakespearean, into an opera as well, and Semiramide. So these are all like serious operas. But I think for the story-wise and also the based on the voice types, we finally settled on these four. And, you know, in Italy, you know, Rossini remains such a, like a god, you know, like an icon, you know, even though he's not with us for 150 years. But every year there is a festival in Pesaro, Italy, where they will only just do his operas. That's why we're working with them. So this academy, and then they have an academy attached with the festival that teaches and trains singers from all around the world how to sing Rossini.
And only Rossini.
And only Rossini. So can you imagine, they've been doing this for, I don't know, so many years. And it's a tradition. And one of the greatest teachers or conductors was a Maestro Zetta, who has passed on now. But his legacy in teaching and rehearsing Rossini is such a... It's like a treatise, you know, like he's the god of actually teaching people how to sing Rossini.
I know we say we're going to talk about the operas. Is it a question of the interpretation as you sing his scores? Or?
Yeah, it's a matter of also... It's so unlike singing Puccini, for example, other Italian composers like Puccini or even like Mozart. You know, there is completely different school and a completely different feeling as well. There is, firstly, the technical side, of course, the voice, but also the style.
When you say technical voice, one would assume that your voice and your trained voice and somebody's trained voice, because the mechanism of your body is pretty much the same, except for the shape.
Yes.
What are the technicalities you're talking about?
Yeah. Of course, anybody, I mean, you through, you know, through training and through study, can sing the repertoire. But actually, to be a specialist in the Rossinian opera repertoire, requires further years of training, you know, at the academy. It's a combination of also style and then also the agility of the voice. Because, like I said, you know, if you have a heavy voice, you know, and you only use, like, for example, Wagner, you know, you have a Germanic large voice, you need to be able to slim it down to be able to be agile, to run all these passages, called melismatic, or what the Italian terms, coloratura, which means the melismatic, you know. And to be able to do all these fast passages, you have to be slim. It's like, you know, if an elephant trying to run a 100-meter, you know, you have to be agile. And also the certain feeling, certain stylistics of actually learning to colour the voice, learning to colour the text. There's so many, all these nuance, which is very remarkable, only peculiar to Rossinian singing.
You know, you have said something that has triggered something else in my head. Again, here, we're supposed to be talking about the operas. We have not yet talked about them, except that you have mentioned Cinderella. Does that mean that you may have two different sopranos, but one soprano will perform it better or more suitable simply because of the quality of that soprano's voice?
Yes, it could be, yeah. I mean, of course, you know, through study and you know, a good soprano is able to do Rossini, but to be actually specialist in the Rossini repertoire, it's another different sort of specialism. You know, like how you were, like if you were a medical doctor, you know, some are cardiologists, some are, you know, but so it requires further study. You know, the basic general degree of singing, everybody's able to do, but to do it well, to the detail, you know, the finer points.
Okay,
back
let's
to
go
the
back.
Opera.
Okay, so, Cinderella, we know the story.
Yeah.
What's the story in the Barber of Seville?
What, the Barber of Seville? the Barber of Seville is another what we call comic opera, and it's actually a cousin, like a sequel to the Da Ponte opera, Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. They are very closely related. So you have Figaro, and then you have the Barber of Seville. So, and it's, but this time, you know, you have set in Italy, in sort of like an Italian court, And you have the Count, and then you have his wife, Rosina, and then you have the doctor, Bartolo, and then you have Basilio, the music teacher, and then you have Figaro. And inside, within the plot itself, it's a love story, of course. It's a courtship, and it's also hilarious scandals, you know, convoluted, you know, plots and many different subplots. It's humorous, and it all ends in a one big finale with everybody singing. And in true to Rossinian culture, every character is given a chance to shine, you know, through his solo arias. So one of the most famous aria is sung by the character Rosina, called Una Voce Poco Fa. Which is a, I don't know, an aria of pyrotechnics for the voice. You know, it is one of the most famous, iconic arias for all singers. And to sing it well, of course, requires you to be completely in control of your instrument. The voice is going, you know, up and down, you know, with lots of vocal pyrotechnics and gymnastics, and leaves you completely breathless.
Who's singing it?
And that's sung by Lim Yi Fen, a Malaysian mezzo-soprano. Yeah. We have basically four different categories of the voice. So you have, at the highest vocal range for females, is the soprano. Then next is mezzo-soprano, which is the lower. Sometimes you would call it an alto in a choir sense, but really mezzo-soprano. And then you have the tenor, the highest for the male voice, the tenor. And then you have the bass. Now, in between, there are also sub-voice categories. So, for example, like in between the tenor and the bass, you have what we call the baritone. And in the Barber of Seville, and again, one of the most famous iconic arias is the Lagor al Factotum. I think one of the most iconic opera arias for the baritone. I mean, it's a showcase. You're not a true Rossinian baritone unless you've actually sung Largo al Factotum.
Who's singing that?
And that is sung by Samuel Lim, a fabulous guy, you know, and he's great. His voice will lie a little higher than a bass. So, like, for example, I'm a bass baritone, so I'm, like, sort of in the middle. So I can't sing that because that's completely out of my range.
That I have also heard, like, male singers, and they say they are not exactly tenors, but they are singing
counter
tenor. Than
tenors. Yeah, so you have the counter tenor, which is a tradition from early, many hundreds of years, what we call the haute contre. In the French, will be haute contre, the Italian will be counter tenor. So in the sort of handy, we're talking about Baroque music, Italian sort of 16th, 17th century. So that tradition, the counter tenor, still sort of had roles. But after that, after the 17th century, there was less.
Faded.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the last of the what we call the castrati, you know, from the...
So are they singing in falsetto?
In the male falsetto voice. But you also have some male falsettis who actually were born with a higher tessitura. So they have almost like really, really high tenor, you know, and almost at the countertenor range. And these days, the countertenors only, they sing very early stuff or very modern stuff because it's made a comeback, a revival in sort of contemporary operas. So in The Barber of Seville, I play Dr. Bartolo, the bass, who's a buffo character. A buffo, and this is again a type of character which is also made famous by Rossini. A buffo means a comedic character, which he plays sort of somewhat really silly. You know, he's very exaggerated. It's like a clown. Pompous, yeah. Like, a bit like a clown, you know. So there are some Rossinian characters which are called buffo. And this is a character which is usually played by the lower voices, by the basses and the baritones.
Well, in English, we call buffoonery.
Buffoonery,
Which is more than just clowning.
Yeah, yeah. So they provide sort of a lightness to the character. You know, and then you have the tortured soul, you know, the Rosina, who's always, you know, in languishing. You know, she's being wooed, and yet she's, you know, having to... Typical, you know, woman's character. A little bit complex. And then she's wooed by, you know, the Lindoro. It's a tenor, yeah, obviously. The tenor gets the girl, And but yeah, so
always the always the girl, always and the and the
yeah, the typecasting happens already. It's a tradition, you know, for a few hundreds of years in the theatrical tradition as well. So the higher voices, the tenors and the sopranos, they play the younger characters, you know, the princesses, the countesses,
the handsome ones.
Interestingly, though, Barber Seville, he's written two versions. So the character of Rosina, or the countess, can be played by either a mezzo-soprano or a soprano. It's kind of very unique in a sense. They sing the same arias, they sing everything the same, except that they're in different keys.
So I assume you're singing La Colonia?
No, I'm not, actually. In the Barber of Seville, I don't have anything to say. I only sing in the ensemble. I have an aria by myself from La Cenerentola, and I play Don Magnifico, which is the father, Cinderella's... the father. I open the concert, and it's again a buffo character. The scene that I sing takes place at the ball, where I have my two ugly daughters with me.
Also no stepmother.
Yeah, so instead of the stepmother, you have the father. Oh. Yeah, it's a reversal. So you have Clorinda and Tisbe, who are my ugly stepsisters, and then the wretched orphan, Cinderella. So, and the scene that I sing, I am in the ball, and I've just seen Cinderella, and I think, oh my God, I know this girl, but who is she? I can't place her. And then I, of course, meet the prince, you know, Ramiro. And then I tell my two daughters that, you know, oh, you know, we are in this, you know, we're going to be victorious, you know, and I can picture myself, you know, having palaces, you know, and riches, and you are going to be wearing gowns of, yeah, so it's funny, very funny.
So there are two more, the Turk in Italy and then the Italian in Algiers. You have, beyond the arias, group numbers.
Yeah, the group numbers are basically all the finales of the different operas. And interestingly, a lot of these finales, we've selected the ones that feature only the male chorus. Yeah, so no females, no female chorus, but only the male chorus.
Gender bias.
Yeah, I know. First you have typecasting, then you have gender bias. So the KLCO male chorus will be featured as well, and they'll be joining us with all the big numbers. So we have the sextet at the end, the Barbiere di Siviglia sextet, which is the finale of the first act. And then also you have the finale of the first act from the Italian Girl in Algiers. And in between the scenes, the male chorus will also be singing, accompanying some arias. So there are solo arias, then you have duets, then you have one chorus number, which is only sung by the chorus, and then you have the big company numbers.
Based on the program, I thought there was just the featured singers, quite a few of you, including the...
Yes.
The visitors from Italy. But I wasn't aware that the Kuala Lumpur...
Yes, the chorus are going to be... Yes, they'll be there. They're making their contribution. Our guest from Italy, Aya Wakizono, she herself will be singing a fantastic aria, Nacqui alla Fanno. And that is, again, a beautiful aria. And she will be singing together with the male chorus. And it's, again, one of those arias where, you know, pyrotechnics. And so it's quite... By the time you finished listening to the concert from the big first to the end, you'd be quite... It's quite a long program, but full of excitement, really. I mean, even the slow aria, they are very beautiful and they're so intense. But you have all these fiery, you know, arias which are enough to, you know, keep you at the edge of the seats. You know, it's like walking on eggs, you know, at the edge.
Have you performed in this UCSR University auditorium before?
No. We are all looking forward to it. It's the new hall, and they've invested a lot in it. They have a wonderful piano, the Fazioli, which is an expensive piano. So we're all looking forward to it tonight. I mean, it's going to be... we have a lot of guests. So the ambassadors from Italy are going to be there. Yeah, and the concert's free. It's very generously supported by...
What's the capacity of the auditorium, do you know?
I'm not too sure, but I think about 400, I think, 400, 500, I think.
Thank you, Chiho. Wonderful explanation, wonderful information about this event.
It's a pleasure, as always. Thank you.
That was Chiho Mark. He, together with seven local classical singers and two from Italy, participated in the celebration of Rossini's 150th anniversary since his death. The one-night-only event was co-organized by the Italian Embassy in KL, Rossini Opera Festival of Pesaro, UCSI University and Kuala Lumpur City Opera. Before I leave you, a note to look out for the Kuala Lumpur City Opera's Madame Butterfly by Puccini, which will be on November 22nd through to November 25th at KL PAC. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.